This lecture, Historical Notes on Grand Lodge Certificates Lodge by Colin Dyer, is the second of 20 lectures supplied to members of Quattu Coronati Correspondence Circle on audio cassette in 1989. Worshipful Brother Don Ray, the preceptor of the Linford Lodge of Research, was given permission for the transcription and including on the Linford website in July 2021. Copyright of the audio material is retained by Quattu Coronati Correspondence Circle.
In these days, every Master Mason in the English Constitution receives, as proof of his membership, a certificate issued by the United Grand Lodge of England. If you look at the present Grand Lodge certificate, you will find that the design follows a pattern which has been basic to the form of certificate issued for many, many years, so that many people firmly believe that such certificates have always been issued and in much the same form. Yet, through the years, there have been many changes in the development of the form of certificate used today. You will find the arms of the Grand Master at the top. The document is divided into two columns by the use of three pillars, and those two columns used for inserting your particulars. There are emblems of masonry shown around the feet of the pillars, the seal of the Grand Lodge and the signature of the Grand Secretary appear, and there is a space where the owner must sign. For as far back as we can trace, Freemasonry appears to have been a society which has insisted that membership must be proved in places where a man was a stranger, before he could be accepted and trusted. The reasons which made such caution necessary may well have varied over the years, but by the 1700s, the question of assistance and relief to the stranger, what we today call charity, was an important factor. Means of recognition of an otherwise unknown brother was by the use of what we now regard as our basic secrets, signs, tokens, and words. During the 1720s, there was a considerable public interest in Freemasonry, and over a period of 10 years, there appeared a number of publications of various sorts purporting to set out and expose all the secrets of Freemasonry. Ultimately, in the 1730s, the Masonic authorities became concerned about impostors being able to gain access to our meetings, or more importantly, to impose on lodge officers in claims for charitable support. An added precaution was then taken of including additional secrets, what we now know as passwords, but soon the practice grew up of lodges giving certificates to those of their members who were going to travel. These certificates often included a specimen signature of the brother concerned, which, as in the present day, he would have to reproduce. These were lodge certificates, but the system worked reasonably well along with the other formal means of recognition, and by the later years of the 1700s, many lodges were having certificates especially printed for this purpose. the printers concerned, often using the same design for several lodges, made up headings and designs for the certificates, which often included a number of Masonic emblems and references to the symbolism used in the craft. The Premier Grand Lodge had been formed in 1717, but in 1751, a new Grand Lodge was formed in England, so that from that date there were two Grand Lodges, opposed to each other, operating in England. The newer Grand Lodge of 1751, which became known as the Ancients, followed very largely the system of the Grand Lodge of Ireland, and claimed that, where methods differed from those of the Premier Grand Lodge, it was because the Premier Grand Lodge had made changes. There was considerable rivalry between the two Grand Lodges in many ways. In administration, the newer Ancients Grand Lodge was undoubtedly the more efficient, and it was this Grand Lodge which first conceived the idea of issuing a Grand Lodge certificate. This was not issued to everyone automatically, as it is today. It could only be obtained on request to the Grand Lodge, and a special fee was payable for its issue. The Premier Grand Lodge had to follow, and before 1760, both the Grand Lodges were issuing certificates, but still only on request. The Ancients Grand Lodge then introduced a feature which the Premier Grand Lodge made no attempt to copy, a certificate which set out the basic information in Latin as well as in English. Their critics said that this was an attempt to show how well educated they all were. But there may have been another reason. By the middle of the 1700s, Freemasonry had spread to many parts of the world, but as the basic craft in those days was founded on Christianity, it was generally among people who had a Christian background. For most Christian countries, Latin was a lingua franca, so that certificates in Latin would be understood in countries where English might not be, by those to whom the certificate was presented. All Masons in the world were not under one of the English Grand Lodges. Ireland and Scotland had separate Grand Lodges, and new sovereign Grand Lodges had been formed in several countries in Europe and beyond. Thus, a Grand Lodge certificate had more status and a general use than one given by lodge officers only. In addition, in England, a Grand Lodge certificate showed to which Grand Lodge you belonged, an important point in distributing charity with two rival Grand Lodges in the country. Naturally, very soon Grand Lodge certificates were printed. The Premier Grand Lodge were first to include symbolic illustration, probably from 1757. The certificate then produced is known as the Three Graces certificate, from the use of three female figures to represent faith, hope, and charity. It also incorporated the three pillars, but with two on one side and one on the other. The square, level, and plumb along with the compasses, and for crest, a flying male angel. This certificate remained in use by the Premier Grand Lodge until 1809. The certificates of the Ancients Grand Lodge did not include symbolic illustration until a complete redesign in 1792. Prior to this, the certificate, even when printed, merely had the Latin wording followed by the same certificate in English, admittedly attractively set out, but without any ornamentation. The angel type certificate of 1792 was in many respects similar to the certificate in use by the Premier Grand Lodge. The crest was a female angel blowing a trumpet. The three pillars appeared in much the same manner as on the certificates of the other Grand Lodge. Although different in design, the three graces and the compasses, square, level, and plumb rule also appeared. On this certificate, the Latin and English versions are set out side by side with the English on the left. With minor adjustments, this design was used by that Grand Lodge until the union of the two Grand Lodges in 1813. The period up to the Union provides a lot of interest in the field of Masonic certificates, and I have drawn on a paper by Brother T.O. Haunch for much that I have said. You can study this in more detail in Volume 82 of the Transactions of the Quatuor Coronati Lodge. The year 1810 saw the centenary of the completion of Rennes St. Paul's Cathedral, and the Premier Grand Lodge marked this by redesigning its Grand Lodge certificate, the main illustration being a view of London from the south bank near Blackfriars Bridge, with the cathedral as the dominating feature. The pillars on each side were still included, as were the three graces. The wording was still in English only. The union of the two Grand Lodges into one united Grand Lodge of England on the 27th of December 1813 changed everything. Your future certificates had to be in the name of the United Grand Lodge. The union took several years to settle down in some respects, and a temporary expedient was to overprint the St. Paul's certificate of the Premier Grand Lodge, making the heading United Grand Lodge, and such certificates were issued from January 1814. This merely added another to the several certificates from lodges and grand lodges which might be in circulation, and when the final form of the post-union Book of Constitutions came to be considered in 1818, opportunity was taken to make a substantial change. Then it was decreed that, for the future, the only acceptable certificate was one issued by the United Grand Lodge, and that everyone in the Constitution must have one as a matter of right. Instructions were issued for a completely new design, which was issued from 1819. This new design was the first to be divided into two columns by the three pillars, and the wording was in English and Latin, English on the left. There was no pictorial heading or crest, merely a statement, in well-arranged letters, that the Prince Regent was the patron of the order, and the Duke of Sussex the Grand Master. In the following year, 1820, King George III died, and the Prince Regent became King George IV. This involved some redesigning by R. W. Sylvester, who had been commissioned to produce this new certificate, and as the patron of the order was now the king, the royal arms appeared at the head. Thus, although what we now call the Pillars Certificate was originally designed for use in 1819, it was not until the incorporation of the royal arms at the top in 1820 that it really began to look as it does today. This is the basic design which has been followed ever since. In 1820, therefore, the coat of arms at the top of the certificate was that of the king, the royal arms. King George IV had been Grand Master from 1790 to 1813 while Prince of Wales, and as regent had accepted the title of patron. His successor, William IV, also a Mason, continued the practice, and the royal arms remained. Victoria, no doubt influenced by her uncle, the Duke of Sussex, Grand Master, also permitted the royal arms to be displayed at the head of the Grand Lodge certificates, although there is no reference to her. This continued right through her reign until 1901, during which time there were four different Grand Masters, the last being her son, who succeeded her as Edward VII. He, having been Grand Master up to the time of his accession, continued the permission to use the royal arms at the head of the certificate, with his name as Protector. It was only when Edward VII died in 1910 that the practice started of having the arms of the Grand Master at the head of the certificate. The Duke of Connaught had become Grand Master in 1901 when his brother became King. He continued in the office until 1939, and following him, the practice became established of the Grand Master's arms appearing on the certificate. But from 1820 to 1910, it was the royal arms, so that current practice is fairly recent. The detail on the certificate continued in Latin and English until the 1960s. After which only the English version appears, with a consequent saving in time in making out certificates. If you look at tracing boards for lodge use designed by the well-known Masonic artist John Harris, you will find a remarkable resemblance between his first degree board and the Grand Lodge certificate. John Harris flourished as a tracing board designer from about 1819, the same year as Sylvester produced the Pillars Certificate, although some features had to be omitted by Sylvester to make room for the wording of the certificate. There was no official design for tracing boards, although there was an official ritual description which allowed an artist a certain amount of latitude. One wonders whether they collaborated or whether one copied from the other. The similarity to the first degree tracing board of the certificate gives an indication of the significance of the symbols set out there, although Sylvester was economical in only showing a symbol once, although it might have two quite separate significances. Thus, the square, which is shown in front of the master's pillar or column in the middle, does duty as the movable jewel of that office as well as one of the great lights. The other two movable jewels, the level and plumb rule, which are worn by the wardens, are set in front of their appropriate columns of strength and beauty. The square is set on the Bible, but the third great light, the compasses, is placed on the perfect ashlar, the symbol of a well-squared mason, as the emblem of conscience, by which that mason's work can be assessed. The perfect ashlar is one of the three immovable jewels of the lodge. The rough ashlar is shown, representing the entered apprentice, with the tools, a maul and chisel, with which he will work on smoothing that stone. The tracing board, and you will note that it is a true draftsman's tracing board, is the symbolic instrument used by the master to instruct the brethren, by laying lines and drawing designs, in the words of the lecture. And that he may do so, there are placed on the tracing board the implements he must use, a ruler and a pencil. All these symbols are shown in this capacity, and not, as has been sometimes suggested, as working tools. They do not appear on our tracing boards, had hardly come into use in the way we employ them by 1818. You will also note that the immovable jewels are placed near to the columns of those who are concerned with them, with the tracing board as the master's implement in the center, the perfect ashlar or experienced craftsman comes under the direction of the senior warden, while the entered apprentice is trained by the junior warden. The globes used to be regular items of lodge furniture until the middle of the last century. You will see that the whole rests on the checkered carpet or pavement which we use for the lodge floor. Significant of the checkered nature of life. So, although Grand Lodge certificates have been issued since the 1750s, our present system of every Master Mason automatically receiving one only dates from 1819, when the new Book of Constitutions following the Union became effective. The basic design of the new certificate dates from the same year, but it has seen a number of changes over the intervening period.